From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. Life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with biochemist Dr. Fuzz Rana, co-author of the book Humans 2.0, Scientific, Philosophical, and Theological Perspectives on Transhumanism. So now let's join Hank Hanegraaff and Fuzz Rana in their conversation.
One of the things that has emerged out of the CRISPR gene editing technology is something called the biology DIY movement. The people behind this movement argue, look, this is such revolutionary technology, it shouldn't be in the hands of the medical and scientific elites. It should be democratized. Everybody should have access to it. And one of the people that is pioneering this movement is a biochemist by the name of Josiah Zahner. And he's a legitimate scientist. He actually worked at NASA for a number of years. And he claims to be the first person to have ever CRISPRed himself, where he literally injected himself with CRISPR gene editing kit that actually inhibits a protein called myostatin. And myostatin is a protein that controls muscle growth. And as the name implies, myo-muscle statin stasis, it actually inhibits muscle growth. If that protein is not active, muscle is going to grow in an uncontrolled way. And in fact, Chinese researchers actually use that CRISPR gene editing kit to inhibit myostatin in dog embryos. And the dogs that were produced were these almost grotesque animals in terms of their musculature. They were just these, you know, and there is a company in Argentina that's looking at using this technique to actually create super racehorses. But this would be an example of using CRISPR gene editing, maybe not to evolve us into post-humans, but to create superhumans who would have unnatural strength, let's say. Now, who knows what the side effects are going to be, right? I mean, you have to be incredibly naive to think you're just going to knock out a critical regulatory protein and not have wide-ranging unintended consequences. But this is the type of thing that people are seriously entertaining in terms of human enhancements, you know, and for somebody who, let's say, is an athlete, you know, this kind of technology is going to be very appealing.
Two parts of the book, I mean, they could be books in and of themselves. The first is artificial intelligence. It's a special focus, artificial intelligence in the post-human world. So the question, of course, this begs is, what is the relationship of artificial intelligence to human enhancement?
Yeah. Well, you know, the brain-computer interfaces that we've talked about, as they become more and more sophisticated, are going to rely on artificial intelligence as a way to extract user intent. So that's very much going to be part of the transhumanist technology. But in addition to that, there are some transhumanists who would argue that if we create, you know, artificial general intelligence, that these entities that we create are going to be persons like us, because they are going to be sentient, they're going to be self-aware, they would be indistinguishable from us as persons. And so the argument is that they would represent what a post-human or a transhumanist world would look like, that not only would it be populated by different types of post-human species of our own making, but even things like, you know, artificial intelligence systems would be, again, part of that post-human world. So it's an idea that is tangential to transhumanism, but also intersects with transhumanism in some significant ways.
You know, there was a conference last November in Athens, Greece, that I participated in. I was on their scientific committee and selecting speakers, and I wish I would have thought of you. But one of the things I said at that conference is that a mega shift in perception is precisely what is needed today, a shift from buying the materialist myth that artificial intelligence is akin to actual intelligence, a shift from believing that computers can develop consciousness, self-awareness, and purposeful choices, a shift to authentic physical and metaphysical realities. So I bring that up simply to say that I see a big distinction between artificial intelligence and actual intelligence. Is that something that you perceive as well?
Yes, I do, because in a sense, the way our artificial intelligence systems work is ultimately through associative learning. This is the type of learning, you know, that's Pavlovian, right? This is how animals learn primarily. And through associative learning, people have shown in computer modeling studies that you can accomplish some very sophisticated problem solving. But as humans, our cognition is fundamentally different than associative learning, where we actually engage in what's called mental time travel, where we can actually project ourselves into alternative types of futures and look at cause and effect relationships in terms of where we are now and what we would need to do to create each of those distinct types of futures. But it's through that process of mental time travel that we actually solve problems by imagining alternate scenarios, and then we can act upon the particular scenario we think is going to be the best, versus associative learning, where it's just trial and error, where you're looking for what is the best possible solution. The thing is that artificial intelligence systems are becoming very sophisticated, and they are increasingly designed to mimic human beings in many different ways. They mimic our responses. They can mimic our emotions. And because we have this capacity called theory of mind, where we recognize that other humans have minds like ours, we know what they're thinking, we know what they're feeling, we can't turn that off. And so we anthropomorphize. We anthropomorphize animals. We attribute to animals human motives, human feelings, human thoughts, when in fact they don't have those. We even anthropomorphize machines. So when we are exposed to an AI system that is fundamentally functioning differently than we function as human beings, but mimics us, it's going to be very tempting to think that that machine is like us, when in fact it isn't. So in a sense, we are our own worst enemy when it comes to distinguishing between AI systems and human beings. Because of our tendency to anthropomorphize, we're going to see something that's fundamentally different than us as being just like us.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. It can't be said enough. I mean, so basically, a computer, no matter how sophisticated, can never replace a man if you have a Christian worldview. In a materialistic worldview, it really becomes a threat. You can have super machines that become more intelligent than human beings. But if you make a mind-brain distinction, it's not as worrisome. There still are attendant problems to AI that need to be considered, but it's not as daunting where you think that a machine can literally replace a human being, because a machine simply doesn't have a mind.
Yeah, and that's a very good point that you make, Hank. Very good point.
But the materialist oftentimes demotes the mind in the sense of epiphenomenalism, the idea that the mind just emerges from physical processes, so in a sense it's just physical itself.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Either the brain is the mind, or the mind is, as you said, an epiphenomena, but it's not a truly distinct aspect of our nature that defines, you know, who we are as human beings.
So if you have people like Stephen Hawking or Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they're concerned that machines are a threat to humanity. They could destroy us. They could deny us resources. They could outcompete us. They could actively seek to exterminate us. Would you share the exact same fear in the exact same way, or do you make a significant distinction based on what we've just said?
Yeah, I am a little concerned about AI systems. I don't know that I would share the concerns to the same degree as Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking would have, but I am concerned because these AI systems are becoming more and more powerful, and the people that are creating them do not know how they are working, right? So they've created something that then is functioning in a way that is surprising to them, or the outcomes are unanticipated, or you have AI systems that are now hallucinating, right? And so it means that we could create something that's powerful. Maybe it's not like us fundamentally, but we could create something that is powerful that we become dependent upon, you know, in terms of specialized, you know, function that, you know, behaves in unanticipated ways and could really be deadly to humanity.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with biochemist Dr. Fuzz Rana. Will technology lead us into a brighter tomorrow, or have we already crossed a line? Unprecedented developments in bioengineering, biotechnology, and biomedicine that could improve the lives of people with debilitating diseases and injuries can also serve as stepping stones to technologies that can enhance human beings and alter human nature, raising fears about how biotechnologies could be misused. To receive your copy of Humans 2.0, Scientific, Philosophical, and Theological Perspectives on Transhumanism by Dr. Fuzz Rana with Kenneth R. Samples, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Here once again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, biochemist Dr. Fuzz Rana, as they continue their conversation.
These AI systems are becoming more and more powerful. We could create something that we become dependent upon in terms of specialized function that behaves in unanticipated ways and could really be deadly to humanity. But something that is also important to recognize is that there's huge amounts of resources that are currently required for cutting-edge AI technology. You know, if you've heard about Google or Amazon, they have these massive facilities that are running their AI algorithms, and they're consuming huge amounts of energy in order to do that. So I think we're going to reach a point where AI cannot progress much more beyond its current point, simply because we are not going to have the resources to actually maintain those AI systems, right? And as soon as you deny those AI systems, those resources, they're going to come to a halt, right? So we still have the ultimate ability to pull the plug, so to speak, as human beings. But that's assuming that people put in place safeguards and that those safeguards are fail-safe.
So something you bring up in the book, which I found interesting, it has to do with repercussions of granting citizenship to robots as though they're human beings, and that actually happened in 2017 or 2019 in Saudi Arabia with a robot called Sophia.
Yeah, and that's a, you know, there's an irony there happening
in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, that was not lost on me.
You know, but that is emblematic of, I think, the allure of AI systems being like us in some way. I mean, because the system that they granted citizenship to is Sophia, which is a robotic system powered by AI that's being specifically designed to mimic human emotions so that the users would form an emotional bond with the AI system. And the reason why Hanson Robotics is doing this is because they recognize that there are a lot of people in our world today that just simply are confined to their homes, elderly people who just aren't able to make it out. They don't have family members or friends in their sphere of influence that visit them, and so they're isolated. And so the thought is, if you have these robotic systems, these people will have companionship, and that will improve their mental health, improve their physical health. So there's very good reasons to do this, but this goes back to this idea of anthropomorphizing, you know, a machine, right? We form an emotional bond with a machine because we anthropomorphize. We think that it's like us, but again, it's an AI system that is fundamentally operating through associative learning, very different in terms of our cognition.
One other special focus, and I think we can wrap it up, but the artificial wombs and the post-human world, what is artificial womb technology, and is it viable? Again, it gives and it takes away. I mean, there are really great benefits to artificial womb technology, but there are also significant liabilities.
Yeah, well, the idea behind an artificial womb is literally that, would be creating a technology that would allow a fetus to develop to full term. And a lot of the motivation behind artificial womb technology is trying to develop ways to improve the outcome of children born prematurely. And so the idea would be that if you could place them into an artificial womb that more closely mimicked a womb, that it would actually not only improve their outcome in terms of the fetal development and their health at the time that they would be, you know, quote unquote, born or reach full term. But it might even actually allow us to have preterm children survive if they are born even earlier than 20 weeks, right? And so this could be revolutionary technology in terms of treating children that are born prematurely. But people that are transhumanists see this as a ticket to divorce human reproduction from the human being itself. And so there are some feminists who see for women the fact that they can become pregnant as being a limitation. And so they want artificial womb technology to allow for reproduction without having to be pregnant, without having to endure pregnancy. The technology is developing at a pretty reasonable pace for treating premature fetuses. It's not right now existent for taking an embryo, a single-celled zygote, and developing it through the first several months of, you know, embryonic growth and development. That technology doesn't simply exist. So it's interesting to see that intersection between feminism and transhumanism with regard to artificial womb technology. As a Christian, I actually am highly supportive of developing artificial womb technology because I see it as a pro-life technology, that if you can actually, you know, have artificial wombs that can extend viability, you know, much earlier than 20 weeks, you now have an option so that instead of someone getting an abortion, you could actually have that fetus placed in an artificial womb. So I see it as having very interesting pro-life repercussions and could really be, you know, a technology used, you know, to advance, you know, kind of a pro-life position and really make abortion, you know, obsolete, or, you know, give that woman who is contemplating an abortion an option that could allow the child to live.
It gives and takes away. There's
yes.
pros and there's cons. What do transhumanists mean when they say that gender itself limits human potential? There's a section in the book, and one of the things you point out is the desire to transcend the limitations of gender is not just a feminist ideal. It is integral to the transhumanist movement because, in their view, gender limits human potential.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what we're seeing right now with all these gender identity issues and transgenderism is, you know, I think emblematic of how people see gender, right? Where people want to see gender as fluid or as non-existent. They want to be able to use technology to alter their gender. And so I see that very much as part of transhumanism. But if you are able to divorce, you know, human reproduction from the human organism, then suddenly gender becomes unimportant, right? That you could conceive of, you know, at least in some kind of futuristic world, you know, similar to Brave New World, where, you know, reproduction is not part of our lives as human beings anymore, or at least as whatever entity we happen to become. So it is very much part of the transgender movement.
When our president, Donald Trump, said that there are only two genders, was that in effect a direct affront to transhumanism?
I think so. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that we've done at Reasons to Believe, just a quick shameless plug, is that we assembled a team of medical doctors who are volunteers with us, who did a deep dive into the medical literature and produced this massive research document on what the medical science says about gender identity and different issues related to gender dysphoria. And through that process, the medical science really lines up with the biblical view that there are two genders and that, you know, gender dysphoria is when something has gone horribly wrong and there are responsible ways to treat it and irresponsible ways to treat it. And this idea of gender affirming care is really an irresponsible way to treat it. It does enormous amount of harm. But this is, again, an example of how people are trying to use technology to alter human beings, right? And we see from just the horrific effects of puberty blockers, the horrific effects of gender reassignment surgeries, just how poorly things can go when we try to use technology to modify who we are as human beings fundamentally, right? That we end up creating enormous amount of damage to people. So this is, I think, a warning shot across the bow for people that are transhumanist, that if you naively think that, you know, altering our genetic makeup or creating human cyborgs is somehow the key to a prosperous and utopian future, you're sorely mistaken.
Yeah, and devastating consequences as well. What a terrific book. Again, the book is Humans 2.0, Scientific, Philosophical, Theological Perspectives on Transhumanism. The book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, biochemist Dr. Fuzz Rana. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Humans 2.0, Scientific, Philosophical, and Theological Perspectives on Transhumanism by Dr. Fuzz Rana with Kenneth R. Samples. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. Once again, that's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. Atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.